Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Roger and Michelle Frisch are a musical and spiritual powerhouse together. There's really no other way to put it. Roger's career as a violin virtuoso is a compendium of international accolades and awards. He studied under the finest violinists in the world and led the world's most gifted musicians with the conductor's baton. Today, he's the associate concertmaster of the Grammy Award-winning, no less, Minnesota Orchestra. Michelle Frisch's career as a flautist is not to be eclipsed by her overachieving husband either, having performed with and without him around the world. At the peak of their musical triumphs, though, Roger and Michelle's faith and careers were tested when Roger developed a career-ending arm and hand tremor. And we're delighted to welcome Roger and Michelle to Open House to share the miracles of their lives. Roger, let's commence with your family. Was there ever a chance that you weren't going to be a concert violinist, given the rich heritage of music in your home?
Oh, it is very much so. Has a rich heritage. My grandfather was a violinist, and my father was one of the lead violinists with the Pittsburgh Symphony, and so it was very much part of my upbringing. And my poor father, I just sort of nagged him my entire young childhood, begging him to teach me the violin. I had this tiny little violin, and every time he would practice, I would go down in his studio and play along with him, even though I had no idea how to play. So I think so he wouldn't be tortured so much, I think he finally ended up giving me lessons.
What age were you when you started to learn to really experience the joy of making music on your own?
Well, I was quite old by today's standards. I was 10 years old before I started taking lessons, and then I started performing relatively quickly. Probably by the time I was 13 was my first formal concert that I gave.
What music, out of interest, were you listening to as a young man at this time?
I love listening to all the major violin concertos. I had this old record player, and Dad would always bring home all these famous recordings for me to listen to, and I was somewhat obsessed with listening to them at the time.
So while your friends were hunkered down with a radio, you were listening to Dad's records.
I was, and you know, it's interesting. I really, even to this day, I love listening to recordings for study purposes. I really do. Although I must say, I usually don't listen to music just for my own pleasure.
With such a rich tapestry of music around you, to what extent did faith play a part in your formative years as well?
Oh, in the formative years, I honestly must say that my faith did not come into play. It really didn't come into play until after I was married. It was Michelle who brought me to my strong belief in Christ. And since then, it has been a very important part of both of our professions.
Michelle, tell me about that first impression when you caught up, or perhaps first glanced at this young virtuoso.
Well, that's very interesting because we met at music school, Indiana University, and we were assigned to the same orchestra. Roger was concertmaster and I was principal flute, and the opera was Carmen.
Wow.
And we just rather fell immediately, so much so that partway through rehearsals, this very wonderful but irascible Italian conductor put down his baton and said, "Would the concertmaster and principal flute just take a moment to look at each other and then we'll get on with rehearsal?" So that was really kind of our beginning, and it's been really wonderful for us to share this profession. We do slightly different things. Roger's with the Minnesota Orchestra, a great symphony orchestra in the States. I'm principal flute with Minnesota Opera, so my schedule is different and my repertoire is different, and it suits both of us very well.
And you have toured, though, together in your own trio, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We have. Our trio is called the Kairos Trio, the Greek term meaning God's timing. And when we're taken out of Chronos, which is our sense of timing, yeah, we find that God can do all sorts of spectacular things with the gifts that he gave us. And we have toured Ukraine and Slovakia and China, giving concerts together with this trio, and sometimes just Roger and I as a duo. And it has been, I would have to say, in spite of our orchestras, the most wonderfully rewarding part of our careers.
Roger, on that China trip, I understand that while you were there sharing your music, you also had a chance to connect with underground churches.
Well, very much so. I formed some very close friendships with those underground churches, and it was actually through that connection that many of these attendees of the churches would come to my large concerts. And I had a particular format that seemed to work quite successfully in China, in contrast to the other countries. In other countries, we can play our standard recital program, and we intersperse that with talking a little bit about our life and eventually talking very much about our faith. Mm. In China, that was not a possibility. What we ended up doing in China is that I would play a full recital program, but then open it up to question and answers from the stage afterwards. And those dear people from the underground churches would inevitably ask a question about my faith, and my standard response was, well, I'm probably not supposed to be speaking in detail about my faith, but it would be rude for me not to respond. And then, of course, that would open the door to many, many other questions from the audience.
Were you ever shut down by a government in a country for sharing your faith so overtly?
We have not been. In Ukraine, and we were there shortly after the Iron Curtain came down, there was great suspicion of us, but mostly as Americans. Okay. They were suspicious of us, and they really didn't want to hear us talk about our faith, nor practically anything else. But as we all know, music is that unique language which opens up all doors, and after a few pieces of the audience hearing what we do professionally, people were extremely receptive.
Roger and Michelle, without diminishing your collective love and gifts in music, you're perhaps also well known for that experimental brain surgery to treat that essential tremor. What was your immediate response when the shake started to develop?
Well, the first time I experienced any shake was I had traveled to China, had just gotten off the flight, long international flight, and within hours was standing in front of an orchestra rehearsing, and I noticed my right arm was trembling, shaking. I, at the time, sort of chucked it up to being exhausted from international travel, and certainly by the next day it would all be fine. Yeah. But in fact it was not, and the tremor continued and continued to get worse. And it was after visiting many doctors and being misdiagnosed, it was my great fortune to we in Minnesota, where Michelle and I are from, live very close to the famous Mayo Clinic. Yeah. And it was the doctors at the Mayo Clinic who diagnosed correctly the essential tremor, and were able to totally diminish the tremor. And as far as we know, I am still the only person that has had the tremor completely gone. as a result of modern technology.
We're going to focus a little more in a few moments' time on the actual procedure. Share with me what you felt when the doctors sacked you down and said, the good news is we know what's wrong. It's called an essential tremor. What was your immediate response in that moment, Roger?
Oh, my immediate response was I had no idea what the doctor had said, and I actually had to have him spell it.
Is that right?
I'd never heard of it before. and it's not one of those household name type of conditions. And so they had to take me from square one, explaining it. And then I did a tremendous amount of internet research on what it was, what the possibilities were. And there initially was an option that it could be controlled through medication, but that didn't work. So the only other option was either discontinue my violin playing career or have brain surgery.
And it should also be added that millions of people around the world live with essential tremor. It's also called familial tremor, and it does run in families. The issue being, though, that many people can live somewhat comfortably and not inconveniently with it, but if you're a surgeon or a race car driver or a violinist, you can't really do your job with even the slightest tremor. So that's what narrowed the options for Roger to choose surgery.
Tell me, Roger and Michelle, how is this affecting your relationship with each other and perhaps even testing your faith?
That is a very good question, because generally I'm maybe the more adventurous one and outgoing in that respect, but we completely switched roles at that point because Roger wanted to continue playing violin. It's his life, it's his love, it's his identity in many ways. And I just was really hesitant about a brain surgery.
Yeah.
So I guess it's fortunate in retrospect that Roger is a total technology geek. he just loves technology, and the thought just did not scare him. I'll say at the time, though, that we have friends to go to, and we had a prayer chain of well over 100 people and families praying for Roger to help make the decision, and once the decision was made, just to make sure everything went okay. And that was our greatest comfort. I dug my heels in for a little bit just to make sure we exhausted all of the other options, of course. But Roger quite boldly went ahead with it, seeing it as the only way to really cure that tremor. And God was faithful. Oh, my.
Okay, Roger, let's get down to tin tacks here. Gadget geek or not, my friend, now's the time to come clean. Were you at all nervous going into that surgery, holding your violin, knowing that you were going to be playing through the surgery while they kind of blindly started poking around inside your brain?
All right, and I am going to answer this quite honestly, and this is going to be hard to believe, but by the time the day of the surgery came, I was quite well prepared. I had talked to many people who had had the surgery. I was not nervous at all, and I was awake for the entire surgery. And quite frankly, I was fascinated through the whole procedure. They kept on bringing in all of these various computers and devices to measure, and I had had to customize some of the surgery, so I actually could play my violin during the surgery. It was really the most efficient way to test whether the tremor was gone mid procedure, and I really did in a, sounds like somewhat of a sick way, but I truly enjoyed myself through the operation. It was a totally fascinating procedure.
Now, we should remind people that there are no nerve endings in the brain, so he didn't have to be fearful of pain.
Yeah.
And Mayo Clinic just went overboard in creating. It's amazing what they do underground. But they bought a $50 violin off of eBay, and they actually created an oscilloscope before the surgery that could objectively measure Roger's tremor.
Goodness me!
It was truly fascinating.
I want to dwell in this moment for a moment. There's the operating theater. Where are you, Michelle?
Thank you for asking.
was she there?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I was the first person in the waiting room at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was very, very crowded for many hours, and I was the last one to leave it at 5 o'clock that afternoon. And I will honestly say I spent a lot of time on my knees, and that was one of the longer days ever experienced. And it was amazing to go to Roger's recovery room, and really, he just was alert and fine, and God so watched over him in that surgery.
Meanwhile, Roger, you're having the time of your life in surgery. You've got this $50 violin in your hand. Let us inside your head. While they are probing around inside your mind with electrodes, trying to find the perfect place to stop the tremor, how are you responding to the music that you've spent a lifetime playing? Are you noticing changes in your dexterity and your bowing? How is it affecting your making of music?
Well, first of all, I certainly wasn't in the operating room playing major violin concertos. I mean, it was just basically very long notes on open strings, and it was merely to measure how much shaking was going on in the right hand. The somewhat at the time quite unique technique that was used for me is that usually for this operation only one lead is inserted in the brain, and in fact they inserted the one lead, and they asked me to then try the violin, try playing, and the tremor had improved significantly, but there was still tremor there, enough tremor that my career would not have been able to continue. And so the doctor actually asked me, which I sort of thought was very strange, here's one of the most brilliant neurosurgeons in the world, and he says, well, what do you think if we insert a second lead? And my reaction was, well, how many times am I in this position? Go for it. And that is exactly how the discussion went during the surgery, and sure enough, it was the insertion of the second lead, which was somewhat controversial and experimental at the time, and it was that second lead which completely took away the tremor.
So, Roger, what physical manifestations are you still carrying around as a result of that surgery? Is there something akin to a pacemaker that you're wearing to provide continued shock therapy, for the want of a better term, to your brain?
Yes. You know, it's somewhat bionic man-ish. the comparison to a pacemaker is very close. It is, in fact, it's a small device about 2 inches square that is inserted in the chest area, and that sends electronic pulses to the brain, which actually it blocks the bad information going to the brain. And as long as I continue to have the stimulator on, which I am able to turn on and off.
Okay.
As long as it's on, there is absolutely no tremor. But this is a device which merely masks the essential tremor. The essential tremor has never gone away, and with technology that medicine has today, it will not go away. It only masks it. I can turn it off, and the tremor is actually quite bad. I can barely get a fork up to my mouth.
Really?
I certainly can't play violin.
When it's on, do you notice any discernible difference from the Roger of today to the Roger before the tremors started to make their presence known?
No, you really cannot feel the difference whether it's on or off.
Michelle, how has this modern miracle impacted your relationship and your faith after the surgery?
I would say initially it was a relief to me, just like Roger, to actually get a diagnosis. Because there are many things that a tremor could be other than essential tremor, yeah, which in Roger's case was quite curable. There are other debilitating conditions, Parkinson's being one of them, or some sort of muscle atrophy that could have seriously ended his career without a treatment. So the possibility of this, although I was still frightened of it, it really was an answer to prayer and a relief. I didn't feel like I bore the burden, though, of worrying about him alone. We have many friends, fellow believers, who really took it upon themselves to go before the Lord in prayer on Roger's behalf, and we both felt quite uplifted pre-surgery, during, and after, by just the flood of prayers on Roger's behalf. I'm grateful, like Roger is, that he could continue to play, because although, you know, our true identity as believers is in Christ, He gave us gifts to do what we do, and it would change life if we couldn't do those. So I was very, very happy that he was able to continue. And there will be other manifestations of the tremor eventually. It will spread eventually. But for now, we're both really grateful.
Michelle, I note with interest that there is a Grammy Award winner in your house, in so much as the Minnesota Orchestra won a Grammy this year. When are you going to win yours?
Well, I'll tell you what, how's a Pulitzer Prize? Minnesota Opera just won a Pulitzer Prize for a commissioning a brand new work by the composer Kevin Putz called Silent Night.
Wow.
And we'll work on that Grammy for you.
Roger and Michelle, it's been a joy catching up with you. It is a miracle, and all the way through our conversation, I've been praising God for his mighty power through those surgeons and continued through your life. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy your stay and performance in Sydney.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much, Duane. This is just wonderful.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.